Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
My name is America. Certainly are living in a tumultuous time right now, and as I step back and take a view of what's going on, I begin to realize that all of this that we are suffering is due to our lack of education ushered through with the media. So we have a double whammy facing us, and the sad part is, how can people fight for a document when they have absolutely no idea what it is and how it applies to them? And why should they even think about it? And so they are being led down the road of rosy free stuff, and we are living the result. Now, if we had gotten there fairly, I would say, oh boy, we are in for trouble. But we did not get there fairly. Right now, I believe it is up to us to do something. Rallying shows support, but we have, for the most part, every single one of these states where there are problems are led by a Republican legislature. Pressure needs to be applied to those legislators because they pick the electors. And if they're going to certify fraud, how do you feel about that? But better yet, is it constitutional? You're listening to Karen Schoen with the Prism of America's Education. And when it comes to the Constitution, I like to bring in my expert, because one of the great things about being a teacher is that you get to work with a lot of experts. And then you get to spread their information around. I'm real happy that we have with us tonight Chris Wright and Dr. Anton Selinsky, or as we know him as Tony. Welcome to the show. We all feel that we need a refresher course in the Constitution so that we can understand where we are and where we want to go.
Karen, thanks for having us back.
So let's get right down to it, and let's understand how this election is applied in the Constitution. And what is this Constitution that everybody is yelling about that we should be defending? Chris, I will leave this in your good hands.
Thank you, Karen. You talk about defending the Constitution, and they call President Trump a Nazi, a dictator, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But actually, he's done quite a bit to defend the Constitution. Not a day goes by without some article appearing to the effect that Trump is a dictator or a threat to democracy in the Constitution. Actually, Trump has defended the Constitution in at least four important ways. First, he defended the presidency against baseless impeachment charges. There was no Trump-Russia collusion, so the Democrats pivoted to the Ukraine phone call and obstruction of Congress. There was nothing of substance there either, and the president's defense team rightfully prevailed in the Senate trial. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats showed themselves to be the threat to the Constitution, not Trump, by lowering the standard for initiating impeachment to virtually nothing at all. Second, Trump showed the National Security and Foreign Service bureaucracy that it is the president and not they who controls national policy and foreign affairs and war. Who could forget the underlings during the impeachment process criticizing the president's foreign policy and saying they know better than he does? Those bureaucrats are the threat to the Constitution, not Trump. Third, Trump has appointed scores of originalist judges to the federal bench. He fought for Justice Kavanaugh and again for Amy Coney Barrett to be confirmed to the Supreme Court. The Democrats who have obstructed the constitutional process for confirming judges are the threat to the Constitution, not Trump. Finally, Trump has firmly rejected globalism and reasserted American sovereignty at every turn. He pledged to put America first in his inaugural address. In a speech to the UN last year, Trump called on member states to embrace nationalism and reject globalism. He said, "The free world must embrace its national foundations." It must not attempt to erase them or replace them. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots. That's right. The U.S. Constitution, which the president swore an oath to uphold, is all about we, the American people, forming a more perfect union, not the left's wackadoodle dream of we, the global citizens, chasing after a perfect world and heaven on earth. The globalists are the threat to the Constitution, not Trump. President Trump won't be going on an apology tour or bowing down to foreign leaders like his predecessor did anytime soon, and we Americans are better off for his fidelity to the Constitution.
You've said it all. And isn't it a shame that the majority of the Biden voters have no idea? Because they don't even know what the Constitution is or what's in it.
Well, you're right to point to education, especially public school education these days. The foundation is deliberately being stripped away. And one of my first insights as a Tea Partier 10, 12 years ago was that we have a foundation. They don't. They make it up as they go along. So we pay attention to things like the Constitution, and they really do not. And I was at the Supreme Court for the Obamacare case on the steps, the big crowds in 2012 and big fighting and a lot of jostling and pushing each other. And after the oral arguments, there was a kid, a debate team came in from one of the suburbs, and they were going to have their fun and poke fun at those crazy right-wingers at the Supreme Court. And so the kid, he was 14 years old, and he had his little point. And then I said, "You had your fun. Now, let me ask you a few questions, if you don't mind." He said, "Okay." So I said, "Number one, what is your political philosophy and what are its source documents?" Dead silence. "What does the Ninth Amendment say and how does it express the philosophical core of the American idea?" Silence. Then I said to him, "You don't even understand your own country. You don't understand what you're throwing away." And it really bothers me that they have no foundation. They're proud of it. And yet they think they've got the gall to come and poke at us and say that we're the rubes, we're the deplorables. Burns my cork.
Well, I look at them and I go, how old are these kids? What are their life experience? And they're going to dictate to me what I'm going to do?
Well, it's funny you should mention life experience. In my third thing that I've prepared for you, I have occasion to mention that. But if I can go on now to equal protection. In 2011, I wrote a report on structural racism, describing how the theory had Marxist roots and was making significant inroads in civil rights legal circles and popular thought. I warned unless somebody with influence started standing up to the systemic racism crowd, the theory would become a 20-year overnight success. I was right about absolutely everything in 2011, except it only took 9 years. It's 2020, and now we see professional athletes and National Guard troops taking a knee. We also see the trained Marxists of Black Lives Matter raking in hundreds of millions of dollars to fight the chimera of systemic racism. The effects will be ruinous if systemic racism theory continues to go unchallenged by the political right. No less than your rights to free speech and to practice your religion hang in the balance. Make no mistake, the left is using the Constitution to destroy the Constitution. Then I go, can tell you all about the origins of the systemic racism theory and critical theory and the Frankfurt School and the Long March Through the Institutions, but your audience has probably heard a lot of that. So let me go on and say that recently we saw another turn. Sure,
Chris,
go ahead.
If you don't mind, just give a brief definition of the systemic racism part, because I want to make sure that everybody listening is on the same page, because there have been so many definitions. So let's define that before we go on.
Systemic racism theory derives from critical race theory, which holds that racism is ingrained in the fabric of American society and that institutional racism is pervasive in the dominant culture. These power structures are based on white privilege and white supremacy, which perpetuate the marginalization of people of color. Any disparity of outcome between groups in health, income, education, etc., is due to racism, not to personal choices or any other factor. Systemic racism is all about erasing disparities between groups through authoritarian collectivist means, starting with society leveling tax rates of 60% to 80%. And it's actually an outgrowth of critical theory, which has Marxist roots in the Frankfurt School, etc. Recently, we saw another turn in the evolution of critical race thinking. You are a racist unless you are an in-your-face social justice warrior constantly engaged in fighting racism 24/7. This turn of thought is obvious and crazy. Three other recent developments show the country is becoming lopsided in promoting diversity to the exclusion of all other values and is headed in the wrong direction. California requires counties to meet racial quotas, they call them health equity metrics, before they can get out from under the state's COVID lockdown orders. Washington State barred religious grandparents from fostering their one-year-old granddaughter because the child might, maybe, someday, hypothetically speaking, grow up to be gay or transgender in an unfriendly household. Third, the insane practice of meeting out school discipline by racial quotas continues in some places. Unless a serious counteroperation is mounted from the right, we will see a steady stream of stories like this until freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and other constitutional values we hold dear are completely devoured in the name of diversity. But it's not too late. None of this is unassailable, super precedent, or set in stone. There have been major reversals in equal protection theory before. Plessy came along announcing the formula separate but equal, which is now in the dustbin of history. President Trump has done his part, prohibiting the teaching of critical race theory at federal agencies and federal contractors. What is needed from us activists is a war room, a sophisticated counteroperation that deconstructs the outlandish novelties coming from the other side and continuously pushes out counter messages far and wide to key influencers and the general public to loosen the grip systemic racism theory now has on the popular imagination. If you would like to join me in forming such an effort, please get in touch with me at tips@liberato.us. That's my personal website, L-I-B as in boy, E-R-A-T as in Tom, O.us, tips@liberato.us.
Now is not the time to sit on your hands and get mad. You do not want to be there and ever say to yourself, I wish I had done more. Now is the time for more. Tony, you have been very quiet. Let us hear from you.
Well, I would like to open with a story from back in the days when I was a communist, and I was a communist for 3 years in the early 70s. As I was about to leave the movement, this was around the time that the Kent State shooting occurred, we had a KGB agent that directed our leader. And by way of the KGB agent, his name was Andre, code name, I guess, an order came down to all of us. We were going to do two things. We were going to infiltrate the Democratic Party. This is like 1963. And I asked, well, why the Democrats? Because they had just been prosecuting the Vietnam War. I thought they were anti-communist. And the answer came back, well, we have friends in the Democratic Party. And I got to thinking to myself, we don't have friends in the Republican Party? We didn't either. But then the second order came down, and that was we were going to change what we called ourselves. And I said, well, what are we going to call ourselves? And the answer came back, we're going to call ourselves anything, liberals, progressives, even socialists, because nobody knows what that means, anything but communists. Well, I left the movement shortly thereafter. And decided I was only ever going to call them communists. Whatever they wanted to be called was out, not going to do it. That was a telling moment for me. That really formed an awful lot of my thinking from the future. It wasn't long after that I became familiar with where their infiltration tactic came from, and it was from Antonio Gramsci. They had accompanied that order with another order to get hold of a book by Alinsky, Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, and start working from that. Well, that all fit together because they will infiltrate every institution. Gramsci's theory was that you conduct your revolution over time by entering every institution of the target culture and destroying it from within. That's been termed the long march through the institution. That phrase, long march through the institutions, is often attributed to Gramsci. Actually, it was the work of a follower of his, Rudy Dutschke, D-U-T-S-C-H-K-E, a German follower of Gramsci. But this is what we're seeing around us and have seen around us over the past 40, 50 years has been the influence of Gramsci and that long march through every institution. What's an institution? An institution, cultural or social institution, is any long-standing, necessary element that supports or holds together a society or culture. Things like family, marriage, sexual identity now, the court system, you name it, it's been infiltrated by the communists. I don't have to describe the changes you've seen in the culture over all these years. It's made to look like, we were told this, make it look like an accidental evolution, just random, this is societal changes, when in fact it's being driven by a pretty well orchestrated, planned out communist agenda. Some of the things that you see around you that lead you to socialism and ultimately to communism. Take a look at Biden's campaign list. Back to energy dependence. How? Stop drilling. Cut all those places again and prohibit drilling, prohibit fracking.
Raise the gas prices and there goes your middle income. Yeah. Any money that you've made is going to go out the window in gas as they bring up the gas prices.
That's right. And all that is by design. We're going to be cooperating with Red China on medical issues. Of all the places to cooperate with, the place that the COVID virus originated, we're going to be in cooperation with them. Advancing the LGBTQ agenda, back to mass immigration. Ex-cons being given voting rights. Now, why would ex-cons be given voting rights in the first place? And in the second place, what does it have to do with socialism? If you give ex-cons voting rights, you can depend on them to back you up politically. And the reason that that ties into socialism is Marx considered, that's Karl Marx, considered cons, criminals, soldiers of the revolution. So you can always depend on them to be out in the front, destroying private property, etc. Among the other things, infanticides coming down the track here, continuing attacks on religion, packing the Supreme Court. That means increasing the number of justices on the Supreme Court so that they can always gain control of it. We have 9 justices now on the Supreme Court. The talk is that it's going to be raised to 15. And above all, constant activism. This is war. One of the first things you learn when you're involved with the communists, the object is to make it look like business as usual. But this is war. They're at war with us. They're told that in every training session. There's nothing normal about the situation we face. This is why you don't see them following any of the social rules that you expect them to follow. Everything is about attack. And if we don't get that soon, we're in trouble. We're already in trouble. If we don't really get that, that could be the end.
Well, let's hold that thought for a minute.
Okay.
As we take a short break, and we'll be back very quickly, so don't go anywhere. I know you're fascinated to see what we can do about this mess that we are in.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Well, everyone, you will be hearing in the next week or so how what is going on today is totally unconstitutional. And Chris, can you please bring us up to date and give us a refresher course on how the Constitution applies to what's happening?
Sure. This has originated with Mark Levin, the radio talk show host. He's asking state legislatures to invoke their power they have to appoint electors to the Electoral College. And they can do it for a good reason, a bad reason, or no reason at all. They can do it because they like Trump. They can do it because they don't like the voting irregularities that have gone in their state. And so he's mounted that effort. And a number of people, including Tea Partiers, have joined that bandwagon. And so there are Tea Partiers who focus on street rallies. There are Tea Partiers who focus on the litigation. There are activists who are focusing now on this idea about Article 2, Section 1. And one of my friends, stalwart Tea Partier, he was with me in 2012 on the steps of the Supreme Court for the Obamacare case. He liked this idea from Mark Levin, and he's written, my friend has written an open letter to state legislators. And so here it is. I'd like to read it to you. It's actually quite short. Honorable legislator, this is a simple message. Article 2, Section 1 of the United States Constitution gives your state's legislature the sole power to choose its electoral college delegation. Article 2 says each state shall appoint said delegation, quote, in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct, close quote. You are charged with selecting your state's electors for president of the United States. The U.S. Constitution specifically gives that power to you and no one else. This means state legislators have complete power over how presidential elections are to be held in their states, too. If you feel that your legislature's constitutional prerogative to set election rules in your own state has been violated, you have the ability to rectify it. If Democrats made anti-democratic changes to your state's electoral process, seeking corrupt advantage, you can correct that. You need not bend to outside forces, civilian or government. Your branch of state government regulates your state's elections and no one else. State legislatures may choose electors for Donald Trump because, in their judgment, President Trump is the legitimate winner in their state, or they may do so because they feel President Trump is the better choice. Both are constitutional. Both are valid reasons. Therefore, Republican-controlled legislatures in Arizona, North Carolina, Michigan, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania can decide that, in their best judgment, President Trump is the legitimate winner of their state's fraud-filled elections, or has been done many times before us in our history. State legislators have the power to simply overrule the voters if they believe the voters have chosen an error. The framers of the Constitution trusted you with that decision. You have that power. And that's the letter that my friend wrote to state legislators on the subject.
That is a fantastic letter. And if you will send it, we can put it out, because what you can do is contact your state legislator, especially if you are in one of those states in question. You just heard it's in the Constitution. The problem is, there is so limited knowledge of the Constitution. I don't think people understand the electoral system, which relies heavily on the Constitution. We, the people, elect representatives. Those representatives, on our behalf, elect electors who then go and cast that vote for the president. Am I correct, Chris?
Yes, there is still an electoral college, despite the best efforts of the left to do away with it.
Yes. And why is that so important?
Well, if you want New York and Los Angeles to elect the president, then do away with the Electoral College. It's meant to protect the small states. Therefore, it serves the value in our Constitution of federalism. That's one of its virtues. And that's the main reason that sticks out in my mind, that if you want the coast to elect the president, then, get rid of the Electoral College, and the rest of us can do what the New Yorkers tell us what to do.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons why these people like big mega cities concentrated full of transient people. To my knowledge, they have been doing this for years. Is that not correct, Chris?
The stack and pack whole agenda, yes. They've been doing that for a long time. That's correct. And, the promotion of mass transit, and there's more of it in the Biden-Sanders unity platform, more for mass transit, less for individual mobility. So they continue to pursue this line of attack on with public policy.
What we need to do to educate people in the Constitution, because that's the biggest problem. People don't understand freedom. They don't understand liberty. They don't understand what it's all about. And they think if they work, that's a horrible thing when they can get it for free. And look at how they loot. They're getting good stuff. And nobody's saying anything or doing anything.
Well, with respect to activism on the Constitution, my efforts are threefold. First, I do a weekly news roundup of news about the Constitution and court cases and such and the like. That's number one. Number two, I do a weekly commentary like the kind that you're hearing on this broadcast. So that originates, what I'm saying, a lot of it originates with weekly commentaries that I've written over the last couple of months and have presented on a national webinar, the Tea Party Patriots National Leaders Webinar. And that's number two, the weekly commentary. Number three, my activism. I've started something that's unique. It's called the Champions of the Constitution Grassroots Network. It is a pushback network, and whenever somebody like former Justice John Paul Stevens attacks the Constitution, like he did in the New York Times in an editorial, he said the Second Amendment ought to be done away with. I activate my network. It's now in 13 states, and we push back. We make noise. We show how the people who trash the Constitution are just dead wrong. And so I invite your listeners to join that pushback network. We do something, what it asks of you is maybe three or four times a year when we see somebody trashing the Constitution, I will circulate that to the members of the network. The members send me comments. I collate, put together the best of the comments, and I publish our response, and then every member of the network then makes noise in their own way. So I invite your listeners to join the Champions of the Constitution Grassroots Network, Pushback Network, and you can do that by writing me at tips@liberato.us, L-I-B as in boy, E-R, A-T as in Tom, O.us, Liberato, tips@liberato.us.
And everyone should go and look at that website, because the information on the Constitution, Chris has an incredible amount. When we were talking about some recent commentaries, you said equal protection war. Can you explain that, please, for our listeners? Because I don't think people really understand what they mean when they say equality.
Well, this was the commentary I recited here earlier on this broadcast about the critical race theory and systemic racism. So that's what I meant by equal protection wars. Oh, okay. Because all these new theories are informing their interpretation of the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause. And there have been a number of interpretations of the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause over the years, and some of them have stuck and some of them have not. Well, this one's making great hay, making great progress in terms of disparate impact and systemic racism and things like that that's now informing equal protection jurisprudence. And my point is, if we, if the right, can mount a sustained, sophisticated counter effort, we can knock this back and put it in the same dustbin of history where Plessy versus Ferguson, the doctrine that separate but equal, currently resides. So we can beat this thing, but it will take sustained and sophisticated effort by a number of people operating what I call a war room, and that's what I'm endeavoring to undertake if I can get enough people to join me to contribute to it. Not money, but items that we can post and then spread out to influencers far and wide.
Oh, that is a wonderful idea, and folks, I really hope and really pray that it's time you got involved. Sitting and listening to the show, I always get such lovely emails from people complimenting me, saying they learned so much. I'm so happy, but you have to do. It's not just learn, it's doing as well. What people don't realize is the value of individualism and the knowledge that our Constitution is what levels the playing field. That's what's applied equally, not this nonsense. This is not for equality, it is for division. That's going to be what they're going to be aiming. Did you hear AOC, who got, I guess, emboldened since she got reelected? You have to hand it to her. She did a good job marketing, and she does know how to market, and she has a good team of people behind her telling her what to do. And I don't mean good because they're pushing the message. I mean good because they understand marketing.
Well, I have a heading here that I'm looking at. What do we do about it, about all this? And I just have three simple points. We can expand on them if we want, or I can add to them. But first of all, the Democrats represent an organization that you can build on. You can move your agenda forward by constant coordinated effort. We don't have that in the GOP. We don't have that in the Republican Party. We need to gain, and once gained, keep control of the GOP for long enough to advance an agenda. First of all, we need to have an articulated agenda. We can say the Constitution, of course, that's ultimately what we're about. But we need to keep a political objectives or agenda in front of us so we know what move one is, move two, move three. The Democrat Party does that for all their activists. We have no organization, anything like that, number one. So we have to keep control of the GOP and direct it in the way that we need it directed. Number two, and this is a personal one, Chris and I may disagree on, I think if we're in a war, and every communist is taught that we are, we have to fight a war. Americans must be mobilized to fight a war. And to begin with, to do that, you have to identify the enemy. They're communists. They're not progressives. They're not liberals. They're not even socialists. Ultimately, they're communists. We got all bent out of shape way back then, if you remember, about Obama's refusal to refer to the terrorists as Islamic terrorists. We're doing the same thing. And our argument back then was, if you don't know who they are, how are you going to fight them? And I would take that argument regarding communists. Now, Trump himself said that this election would come down to a struggle between communism, I think he called it freedom, word he used, it wasn't capitalism. But he identified this last election as a battle against communism. I thought, boy, that's the rallying point. But no more was said about it. I think we need to make it the rallying point for the simple reason that exactly why they gave us all those other words to call ourselves, nobody knows what they mean. Right. They may not know what communism is now, but there's plenty of evidence that you can give in a quick lesson on what communists are about. All you got to do is start the body count, and it piles up quickly. None of those other ones can you do that with. But I think we need to identify them as communists, tell people what the communists have always been up to, what the end result of communism always is. And if we don't seize that opportunity and do that, I fear for our effort. Number three is just the most immediate, simple thing. We must gain control of local school boards. There's one in every community, and we allow it to be stuffed with the people who are interested, who want to get their agenda forward. So we need to articulate an agenda and then get people who identify with that into the local school boards and start change at the most basic level. Have those kids ready to hear constitutionalism by the time they're, 12? They're not ready to hear it now and know what any of it means. They don't even know the history of it. But, everything starts locally.
I agree with you 100%, and I even said the same thing. I'm looking to start an initiative to get some funding, because I can tell you right now that school board is a hugely expensive proposition. Lots of money gets exchanged, and we have to be able to help fund our school board people who we want to run. Otherwise, they are up against the same thing that you see in the general election. That was what I was up against when I was running, and my friend was running for school board and was up against almost the same thing. So we have to have money in place, and we have to, there were some wonderful candidates running for school board. They have name recognition, and we have a 2022 deadline. So we can do something by then. What do you think, Chris?
Well, the two of you have a very good point about school boards. Let me tell you what happened here in suburban D.C., Fairfax County, Virginia. It is the largest county in the state. It is also the 10th largest school district, public school district in the country. And what happened in the last school board election, there were some good candidates on our side who ran. Not only did all of them lose, but there were a couple of stalwarts who were on that board who were advocating for positions coming from conservative and the political right, and they were both defeated. What happened was, and this is how bad it can get, folks, on the Fairfax County School Board, there are now, it is completely composed of professional left-wing activists. That's their background. They all come out of some kind of activist bent or group or advocacy group or something. They are all professional left-wing activists, and not a single one of them has children. They consider themselves, this district considers itself to be a national leader, and they're out there pushing things like global citizenship, transgender spectrum, transgender fluidity, all this kind of stuff, and anything about America or U.S. citizenship is way, way down the list. And that's not just me talking. You can go on their website, look at their plan for a 21st century student, and you can see that global citizen is at the top and American citizen is quite near the bottom.
Well, folks, this is not something that you have not heard before. I've been screaming about this for the longest time. Now it is a reality. Chris, Tony, I can't thank you enough. Be right back, folks.
My fellow Americans, our mission here at AmericaOutloud.com is clear. We're here to defend our founding values and principles at a moment when they are under unprecedented assault. And to cover the news objectively and offer intelligent commentary on the challenges we face as a nation. You can tune in and join our family of listeners 24/7 in this vital crusade. Our apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa. Find us on iHeartRadio or our world-class media player. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyone. I just realized, and I do apologize to Dr. Anton Selinsky, because I did not properly introduce him and tell all of you wonderful people who you have been listening to. Dr. Selinsky is a retired professor of psychology who actually spent 3 years in the Communist Party. So he knows exactly what's going on. And he worked in the college setting since 1977 and taught sociology, anthropology, and American history. So he knows exactly what's happening, and he was exactly right in pinpointing it to us. So thank you, Dr. Selinsky, and hopefully you will be back again. We also were joined by Chris Wright, who is an absolute incredible man when it comes to knowledge of the Constitution and applying it to our lives as we see it today. You are listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the prism of America's education. I truly believe, as I am viewing all of what is going on today, that Americans have never been so divided. And I believe that that division was put there on purpose by the left. They are communist people. And it doesn't matter what you call them, because in the end, they are communists. If we remember what Karl Marx and Lenin said, they said all roads of socialism lead to communism. They are not fooling, and what we have facing us is not to be fooled. They want to punish people. They want to defund the police. They want to open our borders. And they want you to accept lies. And that's what I want to talk about today, because as we look at this, we are accepting lies and we are being coached to accept lies. We are staring right in front of our faces information, actual hard evidence as to how this election was stolen, and yet there are those of us that refuse to believe it because it is easier to accept lies. And it is easier to throw our morality out the window as we threw it out with God. And that is a horrible thing. In our education, we are promoting those lies. And I believe we're promoting them in churches too. And for that reason, I have asked my favorite pastor to please join me today. Pastor Rick, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it. What do you think about the acceptance of lies as a new way of life? because the ends justify the means.
Well, that's a mouthful, Karen, and thanks. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you again. It's been a day or two since we've had the opportunity to do this, so I'm glad to have it again. This whole business of truth is something that ought to get our attention, especially those who are followers of Jesus. I've said for a while now, and it's one of the things I said some months ago at our church and reminded people that if there's one thing that Christians have to offer our nation right now, if there's one distinctive element that we can bring to the conversation, it's the idea that there is truth and there are things that are true and there are things that are false. There are rights and there are wrongs. And we who are the followers of Jesus understand that he talked about that which is true. And we need to remind people that to focus on that which is true. And it is really quite bizarre to look around and to see how quickly people are willing to accept whatever they choose to accept without any kind of rigorous examination, without any kind of critical thinking, which I know you talk about education a lot. Education has been majoring on teaching people to think critically and to evaluate things carefully. But we seem to have abandoned the search for truth and the absolute requirement that people tell us the truth and that we all focus on that which is true. That's a recipe for disaster if we're willing to accept anything. And of course, you hinted at this a little bit too. If we're willing to turn that which is true into a lie, then, I mean, how do we even go forward with all of that?
That is the huge question. I truly believe that people are being taught that, and they are being deliberately manipulated, and they are being taught to be nihilists. And that word has been thrown around a lot. So before we go any further, let's actually put a definition to it so we're all talking about the same thing. A nihilist is a complete denial of all established authority and institutions. So the only one who counts, the God of the issue, is you yourself. And this is what communism promotes. It promotes that there is no God. It promotes that morality doesn't matter, nothing matters, because it is you, the individual, and anything that happens to you, the individual, that is not to your liking is never your fault. So any bad decision that you make doesn't make any difference because you can blame shift to somebody else. And that's what we see happening. And I believe that this started the day that we took God out of our government and out of our schools. What would you say to that, Pastor Rick?
Well, I think, again, there's a lot there that you're talking about, and it reminds me a little bit when you talk about how people don't want to be responsible for their own mistakes. I read recently that someone said, there's no use making your mistakes if you're not going to learn from them. So I think one of the things we have to get back to is the realization that mistakes aren't terrible. They're just what we grow on. It's the bumps in life that we climb on. And I don't think we need to worry about that. I think we just need to understand that none of us is going to be perfectly wise at all times. We're going to have our ups and downs. We just go forward from there. But if we've lost track that there is a sense of that which is right and that which is wrong, then we've lost track of everything. And you're right. This whole business of critical theory and the whole business of oppressed groups is exactly what you're describing and exactly what we're seeing playing out today. People assume or take advantage of this idea that they are oppressed somehow. And so they use that to say, whatever I think is right, because you can't be oppressing me with your perspective. Well, nobody has to agree with me. That's fine. But there is that which is right and that which is true. And we all need to focus on that and come to that understanding. When we throw away the concept that anything is right and that something else might be wrong, then we've lost touch with reality. And I think we need to make sure we stay in touch with reality, because when you lose touch with reality, you're in a big world of hurt really quickly.
I could not agree more. And what we're seeing is an alternative reality taking the place of reality. And that, I believe, is being promoted heavily by our media. They had absolutely horrific lies being spewed all over the media about the president, for example, and no backup, no nothing, no examples, yet all they did was spew lies. And on top of that, they are teaching our children. You hit the nail on the head before, Pastor Rick, when you were talking about critical race theory and critical theory. But also it's criticism, because we learned from our mistakes. That's the whole idea of America, is you are allowed to make a mistake. You can correct that mistake. You can pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. And we do not see that anymore, because the minute you put out an opposition, you are immediately demonized. And here is where we really see the good versus evil. I believe they're making lists of all of us evil people. Now, where do you think those lists are going to go when you're working with a group of people who really are promoting evil? Criticism, so important.
Well, that people are being encouraged and required to think a certain way. You're exactly right. If you disagree, you're demonized. And that's not the spirit of America. That's not the spirit of a search for truth. That's oppression. And that's a horror that we need to guard against and push back against. Absolutely.
We are in a bad place if we allow others to manipulate us, because the idea of America was individuals being great, coming together, doing great things together. So if you are working to your fullest potential and you are on a course to bring you the best that you can be, then it behooves us to work with other people who have the same feeling. And I think that that's really what has happened, because the opposite side, the left, they're not interested in individuals. They don't care about you. They don't care about your feelings. The only thing that they are caring about would be your group think. And that bleeds into everything when you can't think on your own. Wouldn't you say, Pastor Rick?
Oh, I think that's exactly right. And I think people need to recognize the danger. One of the things that I have noticed over the last few years is we will often hear about the narrative, and that's used in a kind of generic way, but it refers to how a story is being told. So it's frequently aimed at the media, that huge conglomerate of groupthink that we all begin to recognize, but they put out a narrative. This is the interpretation of events the way we want you to know about them. Well, I'm not interested in their narrative. I'm interested in what really happened. Just tell me what happened, and I will begin to connect the dots on my own. And when they put a narrative out there, it's just their interpretation of it. We sometimes use the word spin on it. And I'm not interested in their spin. I just want to know what happened, because I can sort that out. And one of the things that we as the listeners into all of this have to do is we need to begin to carefully understand what they're telling us that they want us to hear and want us to believe and want us to think, rather than just telling us, here's what happened and here's what's going on. There are too many examples of that to recount, really. But I heard a news broadcaster yesterday talk about the situation in Pennsylvania and repeated the sense that no laws have been broken. Well, I don't think that's been established. In fact, I think we can establish that at least one law was broken. And so they put that out there because they want people to believe that nothing's going on here, nothing's wrong, we shouldn't wonder about anything. Well, I can make my own determination about that. Just tell me what's going on and leave out the narrative spin. And I think we'll be better off, because we'll all seek the truth then.
Do you think that we have truly developed into a nation that cannot think for themselves?
No, I don't think that. I'm very encouraged. Going up to the election, I saw amazing things happening that were evidence that people were thinking for themselves and not buying into the narratives that were being put out there by many of the news sources. And so I'm convinced that people can still do that. I don't think we've lost it. I think we will lose it if we are oppressed into it. But as long as we have the ability to push back and the intestinal fortitude to push back, we can. Unfortunately, and this is a whole different conversation, I guess. I maybe shouldn't open this up, but unfortunately, most of the good-hearted people that you and I know are really reluctant to fight back. They somehow feel like that's just not the right thing to do, that they're being rude or obnoxious. And my comments to them is, now is the time when we must fight back. We cannot surrender our liberties. We cannot bow down to the people that want to oppress us. We have to find ways to fight back and assert what we know to be, and we're back to that word again, what we know to be true. And I think we can and must do that.
I could not agree more. And one of the things that we could do and must do is to make our opinions known. Now is not the time to be the silent majority. Now is not the time to hold that thought and not share it. We have to share, because what we must share is the truth. And you are so right. Too many times when we talk to our friends on the left, all they're doing is repeating the talking points that they hear on the media. They're not looking anything up. They're not going and finding source documents. So how do you think we can get them to do that when they are more interested in being able to get along just to be along and shut your mouth and get in your box and don't say anything? What can we do? What would be a good thing for our listeners to do, Pastor, that can help bring the truth out?
Well, I think one of the things that will help people a lot is to quit listening to the media so much. I have really tuned a lot of that out. It's not difficult to get an idea what's going on by sampling some things here and there, either on websites or the occasional news broadcast. But too many people get caught up in watching CNN or MSNBC or some of these other news outlets all the time. And so it becomes a real challenge to tune out their perspective. And so I say to people, turn it off. I've even gone so far as to say to people, turn off your local nightly news, your local news broadcast that comes from your local TV station. And the reason I say that is because on all of these instances, we can no longer be sure they're telling us the truth. There have been too many times when you and I have seen things for ourselves and then see how they're reported on to realize that they're not telling us the truth. And I said to people, how do you think you're informed? How do you think you're well-informed if your information is a lie? So tune it out, learn how to sample things from here and there, and look for other voices that are seeing the same things but reporting on them differently. And there are some of those out there. And again, we have to be careful. Everybody wants to manipulate us if they have an agenda, and we want to seek the truth. So we have to learn how to navigate that. And that's fine. We can do that. But we need to find a respite from the nonsense and allow ourselves to think more carefully. And then I told somebody Sunday morning before church, I said, there's a way to correct even local news broadcasts if people want to do it. It'd take a lot of work. It'd take a fair amount of time, but we could make them respond. In the short term, I don't think they're going to change. Over time, we could get them to. But for our own well-being, I think we tune them out and refuse to believe their nonsense and not accept it as the truth until we can verify it better. And by the way, by verifying it, I don't mean get two television stations to agree. That's not what I mean. Too often, they're just saying the same things on different channels. We need to look for people who disagree and sort it out for ourselves. We can think this through. And I think that people have a pretty good baloney detector. And so let your baloney detector blossom, tune it up, fire it up. And when you hear baloney, treat it that way.
Wow, I love that, a baloney detector. That is fantastic. I'm going to use that and take it from you, and I'll give you credit for it. There are many websites right now. The critical thing, of course, is the election. There is a website. It's called everylegalvote.com, and this is put together by a group of independent attorneys and who are involved, and they are looking, as we must, for legal votes. Think about this, folks. If any election that we have in the future is determined by people who vote after the vote, how do we ever have an election that's true? It's impossible. You can't. You have to have a start date, and you have to have an end date. And that's why the end date is mentioned in Constitution. That's where we fall down when we go off the Constitution rail. I also suggest, as Pastor said, you don't like what's going on Facebook and Twitter. I don't know why anybody is even using it anymore. I have switched and am learning Parler. I was also told this is a new program. They may have some glitches. Give them time. They will be getting it back. But their subscriber base has improved incredibly because people are tired of listening to the lies. And we want to get to the truth. We want to know what's going on. Then you have to go to places where the truth is being told, not to another outfit that is just spewing, as Pastor said, the same thing over and over again. And we can get through this, but we should be voting not only with our vote, we should be voting with our wallets, and we should be voting with our voices. And that goes on year after year after year. We don't have to wait for a presidential election for that to happen. Well, Pastor Rick, I can't believe we're almost at the end of time. Would you give us a good prayer that we could use and maybe get some good results? Because we need God's help right now.
Well, absolutely. And I think I would point people to the Lord's Prayer. You know, we often forget that the resources that God has given us over time stand the test of time, and we still have them because they have stood the test of time. And I've encouraged people to pray the Lord's Prayer because it talks about something very important in there, and that's the idea of being delivered from evil. And when we see this challenge to the truth, when we see morality falling by the wayside, then we recognize that evil is upon us. And I think to pray that prayer and ask the Lord himself to deliver us from evil is exactly what he wants us to pray and exactly what he wants us to do. And I think we can trust him to do it.
If we ever needed God to help us, we need him right now. And remember, God helps those who help themselves. So we are the front line, and we have God sitting right with us. And looking for the truth, seeking the truth, is exactly what we need. Nothing is more important than paying attention to what is going on today and not accepting the words of people who only want to do you harm. Listen to their words. Listen to their actions. They're not fooling. They mean every single word of it. Thank you all for joining me today. And let us look forward to a bright future, because that's up to us, we the people. And I know that we can do it. This is Karen Schoen, and you have been listening to The Prism of America's Education. And Pastor Rick, thank you so much for joining me today.